Good afternoon. It is 12:35 and you're listening to Borough Business. It's our call-in show with local officials from the Pierceburg Borough. I'm Olivia Rose, and today's show is going to be a bit different, less business, more borough, and one person in particular who's been serving in local office for almost two decades. I'm joined in the studio here today by longtime Mayor Mark Jensen. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. So, if you're listening and would like to share something with Mark or call in, call KFSK. Our number is 907-772-3808, and we'll get you on air. I'd like to talk about your years in Pietersburg at the borough. You decided not to run for re-election, so how are you kind of feeling about passing on the baton?
Pretty good, actually. I was kind of wondering how it would, I would feel about it when it actually took place, and it has, and I enjoy the free time, not having to go through emails and talk to borough manager and the clerk and, and that kind of thing. But there's things that I'll miss, I'm sure. One of the things I'll probably miss the most that I enjoyed over my tenure was when dignitaries came to town, entertain them. We had barbecues at my house, for Norwegian ambassadors to the United States and governors and seated governors, former governors, senators, federal and state, and had some pretty big barbecues at my house, up to like 80, 90 people at times. So,
oh man, that's packed.
Yeah. So,
what was the name? I missed it.
What was that?
The name.
The name of
the person who came to town that you hosted. That you just mentioned.
What did I have come to town?
Oh, I think I just misunderstood.
No, there was like the Norwegian ambassador. He came to town, Kåre Aas, and originally he came from an invite from Sally Dwyer. And we had they were going to have him out to pizza that night. And Gloria Ann Wallen and I got a quick barbecue put together at her house, crab feed and salmon and stuff. So he came back two or three times, and he was a great guy to get to know. He was a lot of fun. And then Senator Sullivan's been here, and Governor Walker and former Governor Murkowski and his wife Nancy, and Senator Stebbins, of course, and numerous times. So I enjoyed that part of it, and traveling and meeting people. Like Alaska Municipal League, you go there and you meet mayors from small villages, and you get...
You go out to dinner or something?
I'll just sit at the receptions and stuff, right, at the function. Mm-hmm. And
share ideas.
Pretty interesting discussions with some of those people, actually get their take on how they live. Mm. And it's we're pretty fortunate here.
Mm. Yeah, I would love to hear, as we're reflecting, maybe can you tell us more about your time serving as mayor? What was your favorite part about the role? What kept you there for so many years? Almost around 18-ish, right? Roughly 18 years?
18 years as an elected official, and I believe out of those 18, 14 years as mayor, the last city mayor and first borough mayor, and borough mayor essentially till now, with a little sabbatical I took from May till the following election one year. And I won't get into the reasons for that, but, I don't know. I just, 30 years ago, I would have never thought that I would have been in an elected official's position, and especially for this long. But, I've got a lot of good support from the public. I appreciate that. One of the things, when I first got elected, we were divesting from what they called the four-dam pool, and that was the hydropower agency that we were tied to. We're not intertied to, but we were part of their the group. So anytime we wanted something in southeast at either Tyee by Wrangell or Swan Lake down by Ketchikan, we had to get their agreement. And, of course, there was only so much money. So money would either get spent on projects for them or for us. And I can't remember what year that was, but I was involved in that divestiture. And one of the communities, it was either Wrangell or Ketchikan, there was a couple of officials there that didn't think it was a good idea to divest from the Four Dam Pool. And I was involved in those conversations, convincing them what a good deal this was. And here we are. 19 years later or whatever it is, or 18, I guess. I've only been here 18 years. And now we have SEPA, Southeast Alaska Power Agency, with an intertie from Ketchikan to Petersburg, and enjoying the cheapest wholesale power rates in the state.
Yeah, so it's just these three communities is where we get our power. I mean, give or take some.
Right.
Generate ourselves, you know.
Right. So
and
it's a good organization.
We have a caller. So I guess we will let them chime in if we're ready. Let's see.
Hello.
All right. Caller on line one, you're on the air. Who's this we're speaking
hello.
With?
Hello. Well, this is the mayor's harbor master just calling to add my voice to the thanks for all the work he's done and get a little teared up. But I just really appreciated all the personal touches that Mark has done on behalf of our community. And, you know, the business of bureaucracy, that's the day in, day out stuff. But I think Mark was one in a million when it came time. You, Mark, were one in a million when it came time to put a personal touch to our local community. And I just really appreciate that. The small local mayors are doing God's work for our little town. And when he took Corey out to haul crab pots, I just thought, wow, that was just so neat, because that's all he talked about after his trip to Petersburg was all the personal effects. So I just really thank you, Mark, for the leadership you gave us and all the projects that we've accomplished under you. And your name is going to go down in history as one of the good guys.
Okay, thank you very much, Glo, for your appreciation. And, you know, that was a big part of the position that I enjoyed. Like I mentioned a little bit ago, it was entertaining the officials when they came to town. Like I mentioned, that first crab feed at your house with Corey Oles there. And pizza was just not enough for the ambassador from Norway. And we pulled it off, like we did a lot of things in the half a day. We put it together.
The trips up to Juneau, and you'd pack your little cooler of smoked salmon that you just would pass out to everybody. I remember you had me bake a cake for a governor one time and delivered it to him. And I know that got you a little extra time at the at the governor's desk. But just those little personal things that I think are magic, are really magic. And you did a good job of that. So pat you on the back, and I know you'll continue to cheerlead for us in the future. So love you, and thank you for everything you've done.
Okay, thanks again. No, I don't plan on going anywhere. This is home. And those, like Governor Bill Walker said when he saw me walk in the door of his governor's office with a box full of goodies. You know, I don't know how much time people would get, but his staff would come in and say, okay, your next appointment's ready. And then we'd sit there for another 10 or 15 minutes and talk about hunting or fishing or business things. Of course, you know, we're the most important. But, little treats like that, it helps put Petersburg on the map. They don't forget that.
Politicians sometimes forget that it's all those little things that really leave an impression and give a community their name and their presence, and that's what people remember. So I hope your predecessors will take a lesson out of your book. So I'm sure other people are calling.
I still might be able to put together a barbecue if the timing is right and the right people were coming. So
I loved it. Mark would put the call out, and Desi would show up with shrimp salad, and Pam would show up. We all had our duties, and I'd bring the lefse, and off we'd go. Some pretty cool barbecues.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay,
thanks, Glo, for calling in. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye bye.
Okay. Something she was saying just reminds me, it's a good pivot, I have a list of capital projects in front of me, basically just the list of the funds received while you, Mark, were on the city council and the borough assembly since, 2007?
2007,
right?
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, and it was I'm looking here, I'm trying to do the math. Looks like over $100 million or something like that combined for all these capital projects.
It was, and it's hard to remember all of them, but you know, the fire hall, the library, the rebuild of the municipal building, and funding for boosting up our diesel generation, and the hydro out at Blind Slough, along with the drive down dock and the North Harbor rebuild. And yeah, it goes back to those personal relationships with people that are divvying up the money. I remember when the drive down dock was, you know, we'd approved it as our number one harbor project at the assembly level. Mm-hmm. And this was when Bill Thomas was the representative still for our district from Haines. And it was like the last evening before the legislature was going to close down. And I got a call at about 11:30 from Senator Stedman, and he said, "You guys have a list? So anything you've approved?" And I said, "Yeah, well, the drive down dock." And this money came from the passenger head tax fees, and I believe at that time it was $50 a passenger. And I can't remember exactly what we got, but I think it was around $2 million to kick off that project. So that was kind of fun. And then another thing, having a personal relationship with Senator Sullivan, when we were asking to keep the Coast Guard cutter based here, the Anacapa, he called me up. I don't know what time it was back in Washington, D.C., but it was about midnight our time, or 10 o'clock, I believe, was closer to their time. So 2 in the morning in Washington, D.C., he called me up, and he said, "We just cut this deal." I told him we're not going to change the command of the, you know, the leadership in the command in the Coast Guard. I told him this in my office, until you guarantee me that Petersburg keeps a Coast Guard cutter.
At least one, right?
Yeah. Well, we have a buoy tender and a Coast Guard cutter. And, you know, that's been important to the community since I was, they've been here, I think the Elderberry came here in 1954, right after it was built and commissioned. There was two of them, a sister ship. It went somewhere down south, and we got the Elderberry. And so it's been, Coast Guard has been very important to Petersburg. You know, I don't know how many.
The Coasties in the community.
People, well, yeah, they coach little league teams, and they get involved in the sports, and their spouses work in the stores and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, hopefully they will be here for forever.
I would hope. And I really want to ask, this is like one of my most pressing ones. In your time as Petersburg's mayor, like, what changes have you seen over the years? I mean, granted, the whole borough thing, we became a borough and you were the first mayor coming in 2013, I guess officially, for like when the, because the vote happened in December 2012, right? And then we became a borough in January 2013.
Yeah, one thing, I think we were supposed to get 1,400 acres, or if the number's right, might be wrong, but working with the legislature, we ended up, and other municipalities that have formed boroughs, and I can't remember exactly the details, but we ended up with 14,000 acres. You could get a certain percentage of the, what's it called? It's unreserved land in the state that they have. So we've got a pretty good sized borough. It goes all the way up to Tracy Arm, you know, down to the middle of Sumner Straits, and up cuts out through Portage Bay into Frederick Sound. So some of that land, I think, has been conveyed. So I don't know what we'll do with it, but if some of it can get put on the tax rolls somehow. Some of it I don't think should be sold, like the land at Cape Fanshawe, where the old post office used to be. In fact, my grandmother was a postmaster there when my mom was 18. So it's a special place. I mean, I hate to see a fishing lodge or hunting lodge or something there. So we'll see how the leadership deals with that kind of thing in the future. There were some bumpy times over the last 18 years. Was involved when there was a recall, and that was no fun, but there's rules that you need to follow, and some of them weren't being followed at that time. So, but here we are in 2025, and we're still moving along. Mm-hmm. I see, you know, a little change in town. Fishing is kind of having a tough time right now, but I think that industry is what's going to be the backbone of this town, what formed this town.
Mm. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, you know the history probably just from being here when the Peter Bushman built the cannery built it close to the glacier because that's where they got the ice to ice the fish so they could get them fresh down to Seattle, not fresh like now on a jet, but... So, yeah, I don't know. It's changed. But right now, the fishing industry is in a slump. But I think there's a rebound coming. Hmm. So I think, for instance, gillnetters this year got paid 65 cents or 70 cents a pound for chums. And this fall, down in Puget Sound, the fishermen down there are getting $1.25. So maybe that's a sign of the times where things are going to improve price-wise. I hope so. I mean, people like myself that have boats and permits that are, you know, aging out or whatever you want to call it, the grain of the fleet, it needs to be financially viable for a younger person to buy in, you know, to pay for the boats and permits and gear and, you know, fuel's more expensive now. I mean, when I started fishing on my own, I think fuel was 80 cents a gallon. Now it's, you know, over $4. So...
Times are changing.
Yeah, they are. You know, and I'm glad to see the level of tourism we have in town. I wouldn't want to see, and I don't know if anybody in town would, in their right mind anyway, would like to see a 3,000-passenger ship tied up or anchored up and lightering people in. That's what the population of Petersburg is. We could end up like downtown Juneau when they get 15,000 passengers a day and their population is 30,000. I mean, downtown Juneau is just, you know, it's not even downtown Juneau anymore. In the wintertime, it closes down. That's why most of the residents have moved out and businesses have moved out into the valley.
Right. Luckily, we have, I mean, we're protected just in our position in Southeast from those big ships, I guess, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting just to see what comes down the pike. I also am wondering, like, over your tenure, is there anything that stuck out to you that's remained the same? Because we talk about changes, but I'm just wondering if there's like bottom line that jumps out to you.
What would you call it? The atmosphere of Petersburg or the, you know, it's still a working town, you know, and I think that's why the, you know, the individual tourists that come here on their yachts or the fly in or they come on the cruise ships, they've kind of like to see an active little community, I think. And I hope that stays the same. And I can't see it. I hope it doesn't change. Not that, you know, you can't predict the future.
So. Right. But the small town vibe at the heart of Petersburg is what makes Petersburg
what it is.
Yeah.
Well, just think a month ago when we were having American Cruise Lines boats in a National Geographic and people were passing through on their own personal boats and flying in for whether it was sports fishing or bear hunting or whatever, you know, Main Street town was hopping, you know, and now you drive down Main Street on a Sunday, for instance, there might be 2-3 cars on Main Street. You know, that's just nature of the seasons, I guess. But I remember in the late 80s, or late 70s and 80s, when we had a viable logging industry here. We had 5 active restaurants on Main Street. We had a steam cleaners, a couple barber shops. You know, agree with the logging or not, that industry really put a financial gain to Petersburg. You know, I mean, there wasn't 1 or 2 float planes flying around. There was float planes constantly flying, you know, materials or supplies out to the various logging camps. We'll never see that again, but I, you know, hopefully there's some kind of logging industry comes back.
Mm-hmm. But, like you said, none of us have a crystal ball, but it's just interesting to reflect, I guess. And I'd also like to hear, we talk about the community and the small town vibe. How would you describe sort of the relationship between the borough and our community that you've seen just in your tenure?
The relationship between the borough as far as like the administration and the residents? Or
yeah, like our municipal government and the community. I'm just interested to pick your brain because you've served as mayor for a long time and sort of acting as a liaison, if you will. I'm just curious.
You know, the one aspect of it is, you know, everything's getting more expensive, and we keep talking about affordable housing, which is a big issue right now, keeping young people here that can afford to, you know, own a home instead of renting. That's a tough one. So, you know, everything's getting more expensive for the borough as far as supplies and stuff for the water treatment plant, the sewer treatment plant, the hydro generation, or the, you know, the electricity generation. So they have to pass it on to the customers, and hopefully we can figure out how to balance that a little more where it's not quite so expensive to live here. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But I've never really had any beef or whatever you want to call it with the administration. You know, there's not one issue when I decided I was going to take a break for a while. I was busy too. It was summertime. I was welding and getting ready for fishing, and there was some stuff going on. I just don't have time to deal with it, so I stepped down.
Hmm. You decided not to run for re-election this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that decision?
I almost didn't last time, 3 years ago, and was talked to by a lot of the business people in town and, you know, just friends, and convinced me to run again. And there's a lot to it, you know, if you want to, you know, especially if you have a campaign where there's competition, you have to file your paperwork with the state, and you have to, if you collect any money, you have to record all that, and, you know, you have to, you know, put ads together in the paper and buy signs and put them up. And, yeah, I guess you don't have to, but it seemed to work for me. There was a lot to it. So the last time, there was a few people that said they would do all that for me. And I said, okay, well, if that, do you take that burden away from the election part, I'm good with it. So made it another three, but I wouldn't say I was losing interest. I'm still interested in it, but it just, I didn't see myself enjoying it as much or putting the energy towards it that it needs if you're going to do a good job. Mm. And but too much energy could be bad too. You know, that's, the mayor doesn't, you know, you know, he's the figurehead of town, I guess, but he's just one more assembly member. You have no extra powers. Mm. You know, the that's what the manager's for. That's, we have a manager form of government, and he's the one that runs the business. And it's only three people in the administration that the assembly has control over, hiring and firing, and that's the manager, the attorney, and approving the appointment of the borough clerk. You know, I believe that's the way the charter and the codes are written. So besides that, you're not supposed to be giving directions as an individual assembly member to the manager. So, yeah. So anyway, I guess I just didn't want to have to check my emails every day and go to meetings twice a month and, you know, and do the traveling that, you know, I thought was necessary if you're going to be active, you know, like Alaska Municipal League and Southeast Conference. And been to Washington, D.C. a couple times. That was always enjoyable.
But after then, all these years.
Then again, bring a bag of smoked salmon, and they like to see you walk into their offices, the senators and the congressmen.
That's good advice, I guess.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up on time here, I just want to give you the opportunity to share maybe a little bit about, like, what did it mean to you to serve as mayor?
It felt really good to have the support of the majority of the town, you know, supporting you in that role. So not a highly educated person. I've just worked all my life, you know, self-employed, but I took the job seriously, and I didn't come to the job with any kind of an agenda that I wanted to push forward. So, and I think that's important as well. Listen to everybody's opinion, agree with them or not. You know, you have to give them their chance to speak, and then sometimes it'll sway your decision if they have a, you know, better points on the topic than you do. So, pretty simple.
What's next for Mark Jensen? What do you look forward to?
Well, I'm going to be a grandpa in February.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, baby boy in February. So looking forward to that, and I'd like to spend time with the next generation. That'll be generation 5 in Petersburg.
Of the Jensens.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yep, so, family first.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
No, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess there's some kind of a tea or whatever you want to call it, 4 to 6 tonight, and then if you're going to do something, the assembly's going to do an official thank you or something, so.
Right, yeah.
Might be my last time in the assembly chambers for a while, unless I have some kind of a gripe.
You can come up and testify, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I only get 5 minutes, I won't get the whole length of the meeting.
Well, awesome. Thank you again for being here and for your years of dedication to our community here in Petersburg. I guess that's all the time we have for today's Borough Business. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Olivia, for inviting me. Good idea.
Yeah, of course. Glad that you were able to get here. The Petersburg Borough Assembly meets tonight at 6, and KFSK will air that meeting live. There's also a public get-together before the meeting for Mark, and that is in the Assembly Chambers as well, and that goes from 4 to 6. It is currently 1:01, and next we will have Street Beat with Rena Bernstein, and first, we'll have some jazz.